abandon free market principles to save the free market system.
In a world of conventional confusion,
There will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
Daddy, what do taxes pay for?
Oh, why everything. Policemen, trees, sunshine. And let's not forget the folks who just don't feel like working, God bless them.
Don't be afraid of your freedom.
Prepare to unshackle your mind.
An idea whose time has come cannot be stopped by any army or any government.
Your professor has arrived. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome, everybody. It is Monday, November 4th, 2013. Tom Woods here. I told you last Friday that we were going in to find out if the baby we're having in March is going to be a boy or a girl. And all weekend, you've wondered what we found out on Friday. You've been wondering all weekend. And now, finally, that uncertainty can be put to rest. You can have your definitive answer. So we are having another girl. Can you believe that? There are going to be five Woods girls as of March 2014. Really unbelievable, everybody. But I don't know. My philosophy is if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So far, it's been great having the four. So we would have, of course, been perfectly happy with a boy or a girl, but there you have it. So we're debating middle names right now. I think we're going with Sarah for the first name. We're debating middle names. So there you have it, everybody. You can breathe out now that you have your definitive answer. Also, it looks like I've got a couple of events that have just been added that are just about 2 weeks away all of a sudden. So let me just give you a quick rundown on where I'm going to be. It looks like November 18th, 2013, I'm going to be at Clarion University in Clarion, Pennsylvania. November 19th, I'll be at Penn State. And November 20th, I'll be at St. Louis University School of Law at lunchtime and in the afternoon at Lindenwood University in St. Charles, Missouri. So those crystallized very quickly. I'll have more logistical details at tomwoods.com/events very soon. I haven't even posted those events yet, but I'll get that all up there as soon as we get all the flight arrangements done. It's very tricky to fly into some of these places, so we're going to make sure it can get done. But it looks like I got a bunch of events all of a sudden. So it's going to be four universities in 3 days. It's going to be pretty exhausting, but that's what I do. So there you have it. Let me turn now to our friend Jack Spierko. Jack Spierko is a guy I got to meet earlier this year and is just impresses me as an entrepreneur and in terms of somebody who's just knowledgeable about his area. And he is an expert in what we would call preparedness. And not just preparedness for the end of the world or economic Armageddon, but just general preparedness. Be ready for an extended power outage, or be ready for this or that inconvenience or difficulty, or indeed major crisis. All these things ought to be prepared for. But he shows you how to do it, what to do in a way that's easy and user-friendly. And he's the host of the Survival Podcast, which is in its gazillionth episode. I don't know, I guess he'll have to tell us how many episodes they've done, but thesurvivalpodcast.com is where you can contact Jack. So I'm really glad to welcome Jack to the program today. Jack, thanks for being here.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me on. It was great seeing you last year at Liberty Forum, and happy to be on your show.
Well, thanks. I mean, I knew at the time that once the show got started, which took, you know, it seemed like it took about 18 and a half years to get off the ground, you would be a natural person to have on, because I want to bring on people who aren't just carbon copies of myself. I want people who know stuff that I don't know. And you fit this to a T, because I don't know anything about the stuff you talk about. I mean, not one solitary thing. And so what I want you to do for this first time that you're on here for our listeners is talk about the types of things you talk about on your program. But in particular, I want you to start off by explaining why preparedness. I mean, is this the sort of thing that only people who are afraid of the government should be worried about? I mean, of course, that's 99% of my listeners. But I mean, what kinds of things should people be prepared for and why?
Well, I mean, you bring the government up, and there's a lot of people that come into the preparedness world because of the government, whether they look at the government and they have fears due to their incompetence or their malice. And I think both of those are actual threats. But it's actually not the main reason I would give somebody to be prepared. I would give somebody the main reason is that things go wrong in the world. The government and the things government does are just one of the things that can cause, you know, you to need something that you don't have. You know, I grew up kind of as a country boy in the Appalachian Mountains of Pennsylvania. And a lot of the things that we're doing today that we call preparedness, my grandparents just called living. We understood that if the power went out, you know, you needed to have ways to deal with that. That if it was if you didn't have your furnace working in the winter, that you'd be very, very cold. We didn't have a lot of money, so we made sure that we put food by for the leaner times of the year. We all hunted and fished. That was a way that we supplemented our food supply. So I kind of came to this whole thing with that bent in mind. But as I looked around at society, as I kind of, you know, I left small town America and I became very successful in business, I started to kind of make the same mistakes everybody else does. And I started watching simple things like the news. And you watch big events like, you know, Hurricane Katrina or Hurricane Sandy or some of the major tornadoes in the outbreak of 2011. And that wakes a lot of people up. But if you think about it, there's people that are going without power on a daily basis somewhere to do some small insignificant thing that we don't hear about. So I always try to actually take the people that are like, I got to get prepared because the government's going to bankrupt the country or whatever, and say, can we just back up and get you prepared for the power to go out for 3 or 4 days, or to get you prepared for losing your job and having to go 30 days without a paycheck? And if we start there, then all of it starts to fit together a lot easier. A lot of people are like you. They say, I don't know anything about this. And the reality is, you know everything about this because you know the things that you depend on and you know the things in your life that are most at risk. And Tom, the way I kind of put it for people is, let's say that we were in Miami, Florida, and you wanted to go to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We're going to go through Jacksonville for those that, you know the East Coast anyway. And we can get there without going through Jacksonville, but it won't make anything easier. It's going to be much easier to take that straight line approach up the coast, follow I-95 all the way up, you know, through the District of Criminals into Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So since we want to get to Philadelphia, if that makes sense, and we're going to go through, you know, Jacksonville and other places anyway, we start off with very, very simple things to get prepared to deal without systems of support. And my biggest thing I try to teach people is you do not prepare for a disaster. You know that show Doomsday Preppers where they got the people coming on, I'm preparing for an economic collapse. I'm preparing for a coronal mass ejection. And people say, well, what are you preparing for? I'm preparing to deal without systems of support, whether it's a few or all of them. So I look at the most critical needs first. And if you do that, the biggest reason I can give you to do so is you actually live your life a lot more boldly day to day, even when nothing goes wrong. And one of the biggest things that government uses, if you want to come back to that here at the end of this, to actually make people willing to take their deals, to compromise, to give up their liberty, is the fear. What if? What if we weren't here for you? The more we can build of a culture of preparedness, the less we have people that are willing to make that deal. So everything from, you know, a small inconvenience to a job loss to simply re-empowering this nation to be able to take their sovereignty back, those are all great reasons to be more prepared.
All right, so let's take an example of the kind of a skill that you teach on your survival podcast that the average person can learn relatively easily, and then this can be part of their survival approach.
Well, there's a lot to that one. That gets pretty deep. And if folks want to get by my site, it's thesurvivalpodcast.com. And I think I did episode 1238 today.
Okay.
to give you an idea of the volume of information that we put out. We do that 5 days a week. But you're hitting on something very important. So I'm gonna back off that for just a second.
Okay.
and talk about things and stuff versus skills just real quick.
Yeah, sure.
So the first thing that people think of is, well, I need food, I need water, I need, you know, some kind of backup energy source. And the basics of that, you know, we could do an hour and just cover the basics of that. But that is a great place to start, is the stuff. Where you need to move to very quickly from there, though, is skill sets and knowledge. And like one of the things I focus very, very heavily on is being able to produce your own food. And I'll start somebody out with anything from an herb garden in a pot to getting them to, you know, terraform an entire yard and produce half of their own food or more. And the reason I'll do that and focus so much on that is I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and they're not rhetorical. I want an answer from you. Have you ever had to shoot anybody in your life, Tom?
No. Although if I said yes, that would demand another episode on that.
Right. Okay. Other than, you know, schoolyard fights and stuff like that, do you regularly get into physical conflicts with people?
No.
Okay. How often do you eat?
Multiple times a day.
Correct. And you'll do that every day until you're laid to rest, so to speak. So you're going to have to feed yourself. And the problem I see in preparedness, and I'm a huge advocate of the Second Amendment. I'm a big believer in tactical training, self-defensive training. I'm not saying those things aren't important. I'm just saying that that's what people gravitate towards. And the first thing you got to think about is, how am I going to be able to feed myself? So the skills that I want to teach people are, one, how to produce your own food. Two, how to preserve your own food. Three, how to procure food. So learning basic wildcrafting. There's probably something that could provide food for you within a mile of your home if you learn what it is. I also want people to understand how to adapt to situations. So we start, you know, walking the line of critical thinking. I know you're big on that. I've heard some of your talks about government, which are outstanding, by the way. And the way you lead people to an understanding that government isn't all it's cracked up to be is to critically analyze, let's take the free market and let's compare it to government. Let's see how the two, you know, don't quite get along and which one is really a superior solution. That critical thinking aspect then needs to be applied to things like preparedness. There's people that could be in a situation where they have everything they need to survive, but because they don't have the knowledge to go along with it, they end up really miserable or dead. Here's a wilderness survival example. There's been hunters out in the woods, get lost, freeze to death, or just spend a couple nights really, really miserable because they can't get a fire started, because they can't do a friction fire or whatever, but they're walking around with a gun and ammunition. Now, if you have that and a little bit of knowledge, you should be able to start a fire using one of the cartridges by removing the projectile, dumping out most of the powder, put a little bit of powder back into it, take a piece of cotton like off of a shirt or something, put that into the cartridge, fire that with the primer and a pinch of powder at a rock, pick it up, blow on it, use the rest of the powder as an igniter for your tinder. Now, every single hunter that I know of that hunts in firearm season anyways walking around with a fire starting kit. But yet, we have people that end up lost in that situation that end up huddling under a bunch of leaves, freezing cold when they could have a fire. And that's just one thing. So I think the skill set stuff is so big, it's hard for me to pin down a lot of specific examples for you. But what it really comes down is to critical thinking and start looking around. And the biggest thing I wish I could teach people is, whenever you're in a situation, whether it's you're stuck in business or you're stuck in a survival situation, first rule, stop, don't panic, think, assess the situation. Two, ask yourself, what are my tools? What do I have available to me? Three, how can I apply them? And if we did that, we'd get further in life, we'd get further in crisis situations, and frankly, we would turn a lot of crisis situations into simple inconveniences.
Now, Jack, a lot of times when the media doesn't really like a group, it will invent a name for that group. So you got the birthers, you got the tenthers, and now you have the preppers.
But on the
other hand, though, the fact that they're developing a name for a group means the group is growing, means the group is identifiable. If it were just 10 people, they wouldn't bother to come up with a name for them. So what do you attribute? So I take that to mean that the community of people who are interested in the kinds of things you're doing is on the rise. What do you attribute that to? Do you think it starts with the anti-government people, and then once they get deeply into this, they realize, wait, there's a lot more than preparing for economic Armageddon in 2035. There are things to prepare for here in 2013.
Correct. I think it's a mixture of things. I think the anti-government sentiment has some to do with it. I think that when people start looking at a national debt and seeing it cross $17 trillion, that kind of just makes you ugh. And I think, you know, to be fair to some of the people out of even kind of the establishment, Comptroller David Walker, when he started doing his thing about, I guess, 7-8 years ago now, coming out and talking about unfunded liabilities, a lot of these things have kind of shaken people to at least start asking some questions. And that really gets you in the right direction. But I actually think it's a much deeper thing. You know, I mentioned my grandparents. My grandparents were part of the World War II generation, what we commonly refer to as the greatest generation. I'm not sure that's applicable. I think maybe the greatest generation might have been the homesteader generation of the mid-1800s, but, you know, we'll leave that aside for now. But one thing we do know is our grandparents were, you know, they were tough people, and they understood how to get through tough times. That gave way to the baby boom generation. The baby boom generation gave birth to the tweeners and Gen X and Gen Y. And we got into a point where people were living off the fruits of the labor of the previous generation and had lost a lot of the wisdom and had gone into what I call a false happiness. I'm happy because I have shiny things paid for with plastic. And over time, a lot of that started to wane, and the supposed dream began to cave in for a lot of people. You have people coming out of college today, not just the people with, you know, a degree in gender studies or some nonsense like that that they paid $150,000 for, but people with legitimate degrees that are having a hard time finding jobs. And what they end up doing is starting to figure out, like, everything's not the way it was promised to be, and they start asking questions. When you get into the preparedness mindset, you start to learn, again, traditional skills. You start to think about growing your own food. You start to find out what's wrong with the food supply. And there's about a million different avenues that people can come into this world from. But once they get in, they're all interconnected. You learn your food's covered in poison. You learn that the government's not taking care of you. Everybody that comes in initially is either a Democrat or a Republican. Few remain that after a few years into the analysis because they realize it's just marketing. And I think it's that when you touch the power of knowing I can take care of myself, it actually feels really, really good. And I think when people feel good, they tend to keep doing something. And when they feel good and they keep doing something, they start telling other people about it. And I can tell you the exponential growth I've seen with my show. I started my show in 2008 in June, and I was screaming at people to get out of the stock market. I was largely political and financially focused at the time because that was the big crisis I saw coming. I had about 2,000 people listening by the end of 2008. As of this week, I get an average of 85,000 plus downloads of my show a day. So that's the growth that you're talking about there. But you would think the survival podcast is all gloom and doom. It's probably the most positive survival show out there. And just coming back to where you started this question about how they've taken preppers and tried to almost put a negative connotation on it. The ironic thing is the word prepper came from people that were called survivalists who wanted to soften the name themselves. Okay. So it started out with survivalists going, you know what, we'll call ourselves preppers because you're getting the wrong idea. So the media just said, okay, fine, we'll spin that. I mean, the reality is I call it modern survivalism because I am concerned with my survival and your survival and the survival of all the people in my community. And anybody that says they're not a survivalist, I'm going to ask them to stand still while a bus hurls at them at 80 miles an hour. And as soon as you jump out of the way, I'm going to call you a survivalist. Because clearly you don't want to die, right? Or you don't want to be miserable. You know, I mean, that's a big part of it. I'm as much concerned with trying to keep people alive as I'm trying to keep them out of, you know, as much misery as I can.
You know, anybody who, by the way, would think that you specifically are involved in doom and gloom should just look at the topic list on the Survival yeah. podcast. Because to me, even though I'm very, very new to all this, I never thought of it as being something negative or scaremongering, because what it actually is doing is saying, look at how much you have in your own two hands that you're capable of doing and you just don't know it yet. And in other words, instead of just saying, well, everything's going to hell in a handbasket and there's nothing you can do, there are plenty of things you can do. There are plenty of things you specifically can do. And then also, you've also been giving advice to people, not just about, here are some practical things that need to get done and you know how to do them, but also, here are some ways that you can create a more stable income for yourself so that you're not relying. It's not just a matter of we rely too much on, you know, Frankenfood or agribusiness, but we rely oftentimes too much on an employer to put food on our table, to put money in our pockets. And you've also been talking about prepper sort of stuff related to that.
Yeah, I'm telling people to build businesses, and I'm building multiple business units myself. People are like, why are you building businesses if the economy might collapse? And I'm like, because the economy might collapse.
Right.
This is the problem, that when people start thinking about economic collapse, they think of it like a light switch. It's on one minute, it's off the next. But if we look at societies that actually experience economic collapses, it's not like everything just goes away. It's that there's a lot of misery and pain. But I know one thing, Tom Woods probably won't fire Tom Woods. Jack Spirko is not going to fire Jack Spirko. And even if the business you've built doesn't survive, by building a business now, you teach yourself the skill set and the mentality necessary to be an entrepreneur, because there will always be opportunities. And in some cases, the greater the crisis, the greater the opportunity. Well, what would we do if X wasn't available? I'd say, well, people that know how to do that have a great opportunity at that point, whether it's for cash, whether it's for barter, whether it's for silver, doesn't matter what it is. But when we look at Argentina, we look at the economic collapse of the Soviet Union, you go all the way back to the fall of Rome. None of these societies simply like dried up and just blew away. And a lot of times there's an economic collapse and there's a period of prosperity after it. I'm not betting on that one this time around, and you're probably not either. But just to give you a classic example, whenever somebody wants to sell you gold, what they always talk about, you know what it is? Weimar Republic, right? Weimar Republic. What they don't tell you is that lasted about 3 years, and for 10 years after that, there was an economic period in Germany called the Golden Era, and when that ended, when we went into the Great Depression. And that whole piece of that story gets left out. So there's always cycles in economics, and I don't like where the next cycle's going, but I think that if you're prepared and you understand how to capitalize on opportunity, know how to build businesses, know how to build teams, I'm not saying everything's going to be hunky-dory, but you're sure as hell a lot better off than the guy that has a job just bolting tires on cars, or you know, working in a government office processing paperwork, or programming a computer. And if you program computers today, you really probably shouldn't be working for anybody else. You probably should be freelancing and working for yourself.
Now, when you started this podcast back in 08, and you had the 2,000 listeners by the end of the year, you probably didn't imagine where you would be in 2013. But are you basically doing this kind of activity full time now?
Yeah, I actually was a partner in three different, you call them traditional businesses. One a majority partner and a minority partner and two others, and actually a partner in the holding corp that owned the whole lot of them, and was doing the traditional thing. And when I went to leave, and I basically sold my interest out for next to nothing to all of my partners in the other businesses, they thought I was crazy. I did not know it would become what it has become. I knew that if I took this and ran with it, because I'm good at what I do, I would be successful as a business with it. What's actually been astounding to me is the community that's rallied around it. We've been able to do things for people all over the country. We've taken up certain causes and certain fights to help people keep their property, or to deal with situations where government was oppressing them. In one particular instance, we picked up an issue for a lady named Jan Klein out in Oregon, who I don't know if you've ever heard about this. She's pretty big in the news. She was dying of bone cancer, and Glenn Beck picked up her story, ran it on The Blaze, and my little podcast fundraised Glenn Beck and The Blaze. That's not me. That's the people in my audience, the forum that's formed around that. And we're doing training now, like at my property. It's a limited number of people we bring per training, but we've had people come out here, spend time here and learn. But the after hours stuff, hanging out at the campfire, talking to each other, we've had people that have been to our events say that if you guys do an event on paint drying, I'm coming back, because it's that type of a community. It's that type of people that really understand that we are to be looking out for each other, but we're also supposed to be responsible for ourselves and our families first. And that's the bigger story. You know, building a podcast into a business is one thing. Building a community of people that self-replicate and do good things in the world, that's the bigger thing as far as I'm concerned.
And it's so hard to predict. Like, when you got started, you probably had no idea where it was going to go. And now you look at it in absolute amazement. And I see that, too. I just had this guy, Rob Wolf, who's one of these paleo eaters on.
Yeah, I love Rob. He's a friend of mine.
Oh, okay. And I mean, like, he's another example. Like, he's built up a tremendous community around the kind of information that he spreads, and he had no idea that all of a sudden he'd be able to make a living at this, doing something that he knows is making a positive contribution, and where he would be difficult to replace. There aren't a whole lot of Rob Wolfs in the world.
In fact, I have to say that I owe my current state of health to Rob. I found his book several years ago. I was almost 300 pounds. I'm about 205 now, somewhere in that range. I played football in high school at 190, and I'm in my 40s now. So that's about as good as it's getting on my end, as far as I'm concerned, as far as the weight that I'm carrying. And he had a tremendous impact on my life. And if I had to say, you know, what makes him successful, what makes shows like mine successful, I think it's a bigger thing is having this impact on people's lives. It's not just that, you know, you can't be easily replaced. I've had vets tell me, you know, that what we're doing, and it's hard for me to even say this because I don't feel like I get this credit, but what we're doing and what we gave them is something they could grab onto, prevented them from committing suicide. I had a woman at an event that I attended come up to me. She was probably in her late 60s. She found the show because a friend said she needed to listen to it. She thought that, you know, we were crazy at first, honestly. What we said started to make sense. She was very, very high paid, but something clicked and she started, you know, just doing these basic things and setting her life up with more redundancies. And then she got hit with some sort of an illness. I don't remember what it was, but she ended up on disability. So she went from a six-figure income to a disability salary. And she's like, my life is still okay, but if I had not been prepared for that, you know, I would be in a real hard way today. And, you know, she had tears in her eyes. And when you can hit people like that, and at the same time you're trying to get them prepared for the worst of the worst, but I mean, I'll put it this way, my catchphrase, the worst catchphrase in marketing, but it was the only thing that made sense, so I did it anyway. Even as a marketer, I knew it was wrong, but it worked. And that was helping you live a better life if times get tough or even if they don't. And that's what we're really trying to do. If you can't make yourself happy today, what hope do you have of making yourself happy, you know, in a post-collapse society? And the answer is none.
Well, Jack, I really appreciate this chat. And I would say that by any definition of success, you can count yourself a success. And I know that you would say that it's more important than all that. But being a success means helping other people. And you've done it in ways that, you know, you find out every day and then ways you don't, you'll never know about. So I wanted to give people, especially since I'm still new with the show, in the first programs, I want to acquaint people with people I respect and get the basic gist of what it is they do so that maybe they'll plug in with these other people as well. So I'm so glad you're able to carve out some time with us today. We really appreciate it.
Well, Tom, thank you. If you ever have anything specific going on in the world you want to talk about, I'm happy to come back. If you'd ever like a platform to spread your message, which is incredibly important as well, my platform is open to you. I'm sure my listeners would love to hear from you. So just let us know, and we'll get you on our show if you want to do that. And thank you for having me on today.
Pleasure was mine, Jack. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, that is Jack Spirko. Check him out at thesurvivalpodcast.com. And that is all the time we have for the program for today. But remember, I am giving away free signed and personalized copies of my book, Nullification, in honor of the 215th anniversary of the passage of the Kentucky Resolutions of 1798 to people who join my LibertyClassroom.com in the coming days. LibertyClassroom.com is where you can learn the history and economics they didn't teach you at your convenience while you're driving in your car. It is the greatest thing in the history of mankind. Do what Wrestler Kane tells you to do, which is join LibertyClassroom.com. And then when you've done that, drop us a little note on our contact page and say, hey, you bum, I just joined. Where's my book? And also for the rest of you who are saying, what can I do to give back to the Tom Woods Show that has given me so, so much? Well, you can help us out at no cost to yourself when you're about to make your Amazon purchase, whatever it is. Head over first to our show site. What's our show site? TomWoodsRadio.com, and there is a little Amazon widget there. You enter Amazon from there, and at no cost to you, you can help us keep our little Tom Woods Show office where I am able to make these programs in peace and quiet. All right, thanks everybody for listening. We're on Stitcher now, not just iTunes, also on Stitcher. So subscribe in using whatever platform you like. It warms our hearts here when you guys subscribe to this program. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
The Tom Woods Show.